This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Outrage tonight. And OnlyFans model, and I say that holding my nose, an OnlyFans model is set to walk free on murder charges. Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
Oh my god. I'm covered in his blood because I'm
I understand that.
And if I don't, and y'all can't, okay. Then what will I do with
him? Alright.
I need him. He's like my other half.
How many times did you stab him?
I did not stab him once. I just threw it because I was scared.
You threw the knife?
Threw it.
I grabbed a knife and I said, don't come anywhere close to me. I have absolutely no intention of using it. Am I, is there a chance I'm going to go home tonight?
What is she too pretty for jail? Because I can tell you this, the victim, the dead victim, wasn't pretty when the cops found him bleeding out on the floor. And tonight, we learn that an OnlyFans model, not judging, I'm not the church lady, I don't care what she does in her spare time, but this is the stabbing of an unarmed man. And she admits that she stabbed him, but claims she threw the knife at him. Hey, let's pull up the pig carcass video. I never thought in law school, when I was working away on law review, that the words pig carcass video, there you go. Let's just drink that in for a moment. Yes, that is a pig carcass. This woman's defense is, in self-defense, she throws a knife at the boyfriend that she has been beating and abusing for years and is caught on video on an elevator, for one example, and that she threw it exactly at him with such force that it, what, Larry Seward? Larry, joining us, investigative reporter, CBS Miami, how, tell me about the wound on the victim.
So the wound to Christian Umbuselli, who's the victim here, 27-year-old, 8 centimeters deep, in his chest. It severed an artery, and that's how he died. He died at a hospital.
Please speak imperial. 8 centimeters equals how many inches? What are we talking about?
Well, clearly this is a wound deep enough to not just cut vessels. This severed an artery. This is a very deep wound that he suffered. And what Courtney Clinton is saying is that she threw it, and that throw got the knife lodged in his chest deep enough to do that. Now, Umbuselli's family says this is clearly a stabbing that happened from a close distance away from the victim. But of course, we won't see any more evidence because the case never went to trial.
Well, you know what? Larry, investigative reporter, CBS, Larry Seward, straight out to Robert Crispin, joining us, private investigator with Crispin Special Investigations, former federal task force for the U.S. Department of Justice, the DEA, Miami Field Office, homicide detective, crimes against children. It goes on and on. Crispin, you heard Seward. That's 3 inches deep. Severed. Did you hear what he said? It's severed an artery. What? By throwing a knife? Really? She's lying through her teeth, and she is going to walk free, Crispin. She's walking free. So you know what? You're law enforcement. What do all the cops have to say? They work their tails off, blood, sweat, and tears for her to walk free when she has been beating and abusing him. You know how rare that is, that the woman is the aggressor. I usually don't even believe it. But all the friends, all the acquaintances have told us time and time again how she would slap him, beat him, verbally abuse him in public. And he would just sit there and take it. We've even got her on video on an elevator beating his ASS. And she's walking free, Crispin. Help me.
You know, I don't think anybody gets that plea, especially with the history of their 2-year relationship and all the domestic violence calls, the video in the elevator, the arrest out in Las Vegas, getting the digital evidence out of her phone where she kept her own diary and log of how she needs to stop being so violent against Christian. I'm coming to you out front of the Paricio, the one Paricio in Miami, where 22 floors up, this thing happened. And these neighbors are glad it's over because they're tired of the cameras. But nobody is happy with this plea. I think if any of this evidence would have got out, a jury would have found her guilty of second-degree murder. Do I think this was premeditated? Absolutely not. But with the history of domestic violence...
You stop right there. Excuse me, Crispin. Crispin. I'm sorry, when did you get your Juris Doctorate?
Yeah, I don't need it for this case, Nancy.
Listening, not hearing.
There's enough evidence here to
no,
put this girl
no,
away.
No, no, N-O. Intent can be formed in the twinkling of a moment, the blink of an eye, in the time it takes to pull a trigger, much less pick up a knife and throw it, which is a lie. You cannot stab somebody 3 inches deep, sever an artery by throwing a kitchen knife at them. Try it. Try it. Intent can be formed just like that. In the time it takes her to pick that knife up, Crispin, that is the law. And I don't care what those people living in that luxury high-rise want in this case. Don't care. I want what the victim's family wants. You think they want her to walk free? No, they don't want her to walk free.
Not at all. Absolutely not. And this is a travesty of justice. This is a slap to law enforcement's face of all the hard work that they put in and the state attorney's office and the prosecutors put into this. Obviously, Nancy, something happened behind the scenes. Some piece of evidence, something somewhere along the line led the state attorney's office to believe they could have an issue with some part of this evidence or testimony that would have found her not guilty or found juror.
What? You know what? Again, I don't know what. Who killed Robert Crispin and is wearing his skin? Because that is crazy talk. Have you ever heard of a lazy prosecutor? We had them in our office when we had about 80 lawyers. Everybody, the defense attorneys would dance down the halls with glee when their case was assigned to these prosecutors. They wouldn't go to trial, no way, no how. Come hell or high water, they were going to take a plea and everybody knew it. That was where you go to get a cheap plea. And that's what happened here. There's nothing wrong with this evidence. As a matter of fact, control room, let's see a little of that body cam where she's perfectly fine. No bruises, no scrapes, no nothing. She's only covered. Oh, can you please pull up your top, woman? Do I have to see that right here at supper time? Do I have to? He's lying on the floor bleeding out, and she is perfectly fit as a fiddle, doing what she does best, showing her breast to whoever wants to look at it. Not me, woman. Covered in her fiancé's blood. Now, to Mark Astor joining us, high-profile lawyer out of Boca Raton, criminal defense attorney at Astor Simovich, and star of podcast The Journey by Mark Astor. Mark,
how
did this happen? I'm angry. What? And I want justice. I mean, I've been hearing about this case now. Did you know this is 4 years almost to the day that he was stabbed dead? I have seen his mother crying, begging for justice. What's she going to do now? Just go lay down on the train track and wait for a train?
Nancy, there's some things you said I agree with and some things that you said I disagree with. First of all, the idea that she threw the knife at him, I agree, is completely ridiculous. But that does not negate the idea that this was a self-defense case. There's also evidence that this was a very volatile relationship and she may well have been the instigator of some of these.
Excuse me, Mark. Excuse me. I actually want you to hold that thought, but let me have a word with the New York control room very quickly. The victim is dead. I don't need to see her TNA tonight. Okay, the whole world has seen it. All you have to do is what? How much is an OnlyFans subscription? $10? Whatever. You can see it all. You want to show me something? You show me the prior incidents of her beating on him and that body cam. She's fit as a fiddle and he's dead on the floor. How is that self-defense? Aster, I apologize. Please start over. And I will try not to interrupt you this time unless I see more TNA.
Perfectly okay. So I think there's a couple things. One, just because there's a plea doesn't mean to say that the prosecutors were lazy. Okay, I think there's evidence to suggest that this is a good self-defense case. Now, I know there's evidence that she was the aggressor, but I believe there's also evidence that at some point he was the aggressor. This was a volatile relationship. So just because you have a decedent doesn't mean to say that there's not going to be an acquittal. That's number one. Number two, you have the decedent's family who apparently wanted to get this case resolved. And if I'm defending this woman, I'm going to probably drag his name and his reputation through the mud so that I can argue to a jury that the self-defense was reasonable. And I have to believe that the family didn't want to go through that, didn't want to have this their loved one's name and reputation sullied and dragged through the mud. So I think there's also that.
Excuse me. What are you clairvoyant? Did you bring your crystal ball today? You can look in it and you can tell me what the victim's family wanted. What? Where are you getting this? Why are you saying this? And you know what? I've never tried a single murder case and I've tried plenty. I didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Okay, Aster? So don't pull that on me.
I appreciate
every
what you're coming
murder
from.
Case, the victim is dragged through the mud. They used cocaine. No, they didn't. They were drunk. No, they weren't. She was cheating. No, she wasn't. They'll say anything in front of a jury to make the jury dislike the victim. Don't care. Now, What is the evidence you're talking about that he was the aggressor?
Well, apparently they had a very volatile relationship. There's evidence out there that this was a combative relationship.
I'm looking at it right now. She's beating the hell out of him.
Well, here's the deal, Nancy. We don't know what happened before they got in the elevator. Had he been the aggressor? Was she defending herself in that elevator? I think you could make a logical argument from that. So you can't just judge what you see in the video in a vacuum. You simply can't do that. Oh. So I disagree with that analysis.
I'm sorry. You just gave me a pain in my back. I thought I was having a heart attack. Listen, Aster, your good looks and your Brit accent might work on a lot of people. It's not working on me because I asked you, what was your evidence that he was the aggressor? And you said you can't believe everything you see. I mean, come on, please. I've got it on video. She's beating him. That's what all the friends, that's what all the family say. For years, she beat him and he took it. She finally stabbed him dead. And you have not given me one shred of evidence that he was the aggressor.
Nancy, there is body cam footage where she's interviewed there. By the way, she was clearly in custody when she was interviewed at the scene. She wasn't Mirandized. That's number one. Number two, she tells the officer that he had grabbed her, that he had choked her. There's your self-defense case right there on the body cam footage. So again, I disagree with your analysis. And again, we can't judge evidence in a vacuum, but there's certainly evidence to support that this is a good self-defense case.
Good. You believe her or my lying eyes? You know what? Straight out to you, Dave
Mack.
That's why
we have trials,
Nancy, investigative reporter.
To see who we believe.
Yeah, but we didn't in this case because the prosecutor did not have I don't know how well versed you are in Latin, but the prosecutor didn't have the balls to take it to trial, just like out in Coburger. You know, you may be laughing at my vernacular, but this is a miscarriage of justice. This is wrong. And there is no way in HELL that the victim's family is fine with her walking free when their son is stabbed dead. Okay,
Nancy, I agree
with
you. It's a light sentence. It's a light sentence. But to say the prosecutors didn't try this case because they were lazy, I have to respectfully disagree with that. Having
said, they didn't have any balls. I think that's more accurate.
Well, okay, cool. You can use that. I prefer your term works, but I get what you're saying. But to judge the prosecutors in a vacuum, I don't think we can do that.
It's not a vacuum. Help me, Dave Mack. Please help me explain to Mark Aster the years of abuse this victim took. And it's very rare, and Dr. Jamie Lacey is going to back me up on that, I think, that the male is the victim of verbal and physical abuse by a domestic partner. It's very rare. But nobody says he ever attacked her. Help me out, Dave Mack.
You're dead on accurate, Nancy, that friends that knew the relationship always said that it was Courtney Clenny that was the aggressor. And, you know, when she would drink, that's when the ugly, violent, verbal abuse would come out. And everything that we have seen, when you watch the body cam footage from police, you see Courtney Clenny trying to play the cops, trying to play like she's the victim, always the victim. Meanwhile, Christian Obenselli is dead on the floor. You know, when you look at the actual elevator footage, you can see that Christian is trying to not hurt her. He's trying to protect himself and to get her to stop. This is something that we've talked about so many times with this case, that no matter what, Christian was obviously or appears to obviously be the victim on a regular basis. There were so many interactions, Nancy. The one that comes to me that I look at is after the murder, when Courtney Clenny fled Miami and went back home to Texas to stay with her folks 8 weeks after the murder. She's walking her dogs in the neighborhood and comes across an 18-year-old boy. And she's aggressive towards this boy, so much so, sexually aggressive, that he felt uncomfortable about walking with her and got his dad to get involved. They had to call police, Nancy, because she was so aggressive. It's just her mentality. And so Christian Obenselli is dead because he was a victim of abuse.
Put the close-up you were showing me of her in her kimono and her push-up bra, please, because it focused on her neck. Nothing. No bruises, no scratches, no anything. Oh, look at that. The fight was so horrible that she managed to keep on her false eyelashes. Wow. That was some prize fight right there. Yeah. You know, to Dr. Janie Lacey joining us, licensed psychotherapist, CEO of Life Counseling Solutions. She is the star and host of Let's Talk About It with Janie Lacey. She is author of How to Heal from a Toxic Relationship. Dr. Janie, in all the years I worked the hotline as a volunteer at the Battered Women's Center, so often the women would say, it was always women, never a man. They would say, oh, but he was drunk. It's not really his fault. That's BS. That is a crutch. That is a lie. That is a screen to mask the truth that the victim is getting beaten viciously. Why did he stay in it? Now he's dead.
I think, Nancy, first, what we're hearing, it is rare that men report abuse. But I see it all the time where also men are the victims of abuse. But I think what tends to happen is that they have this perception that they are strong, they're a man, I should take it. Or if I just do what she wants, then perhaps it'll go away. I hear all of the negotiations inside themselves why they stay in these relationships. And then there's also they truly love and they truly enjoy parts of the relationship. So they kind of wait for her reaction to pass so we can just get back to normal. So like in any toxic relationships, and in particular, when I look at this toxic relationship, I look at this plea deal, it's just legal resolution. It doesn't tell me that this truly was a toxic relationship because it was. What we see is this shift from her moving from this defensive position to some form of accountability for her legal resolution. But when we look at toxic relationship cycles, they always, especially, and I do say always, the one who sometimes is the abuser has this position that they position themselves entirely as a victim. And when, in this case, when the reality of a trial, right, it would undeniably, we have the evidence coming about, there has to be some level for her own survival to admit to some level of accountability, in this case, manslaughter. But this is her having to admit to some level of reacting to this abuse, which we know men stay in these relationships because of many reasons. And one of those reasons is because they love and they enjoy parts of it, but they also believe, I am the man, nobody will believe me, which to me indicates why he was filming and getting some of these evidences, Nancy.
I want you guys to hear, before I go to our renowned medical examiner, formerly of Clark County, that's Vegas, never lack of business, Dr. Jan Gorniak, I want you to hear an audio that was privately recorded by the dead victim, Christian, before his death. He didn't think anyone would believe that he, the man, was being abused and beaten and threatened, and he secretly recorded one of the defendant's tirades. At Robert Crispin, please listen to this.
Anything in my bone, I need to go home. Anything touches me, I need my bone.
Cece, I'm...
Don't touch me!
What is going on? Like, what are you... Are you going to get this mad at me when I'm apologizing to you?
No, Christian.
Like, you're thinking I'm doing it on...
Drop your high pitch.
Okay, I'm not doing it on purpose.
You told Sahara, you... The right thing to do is to tell me.
Yes, and I am so sorry.
So shut up and let me you dumb. Give me my phone.
You have your phone.
I don't have it anymore. Find it and
what?
Find it and charge it.
I'm sorry, Courtney.
I don't care. Find it and charge it.
Okay, just stop.
Don't talk to me.
Man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. Because I'm telling you I'm sorry.
It is my heart. Find my
I don't know where your phone is.
Find it.
Can you help me find it?
I won!
So why?
Find it!
Why are you screaming, man? Not man, but why?
I need to find it because I have to go meet her again!
So to go out?
No!
You said she buys you
Christian, just find my phone!
I don't have your phone, just can you just...
Just find my
Cece, can you just please...
Shut up!
Just please!
Shut up, you want to go without talking!
I didn't go to go...
Yes, you did, you always wanted
to... Courtney, I was all...
You literally told me about it, now...
What are you talking
yes.
about?
All day, every day... Every night, 24/7, 365. Robert Crispin joining us. You know what, Crispin? Sometimes I think we've seen it all. I think I'll never be shocked again. But just imagine living in that home. This was all because she couldn't find her cell phone and he couldn't find it quickly enough for her. The screaming, the cursing, the threatening over finding the cell phone every day, getting abused like that. And now he's dead. He's dead in his 20s. My little babies are about to turn 19. He's just a few years older than that. And he's gone, Crispin, forever. Imagine what his mother is going through. And now the killer is walking free.
I can't imagine the pain of losing my child, let alone any parent losing their child. But that video is a great snapshot of who Courtney Kenny is. That's exactly who she is. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'd like to publish this video as exhibit number one.
You mentioned that everybody in that luxury high-rise behind you wanted this case over and done with. What's it to them? What? This is not about them. Why did you even say that?
It is not about them, but it's bringing a lot of unwanted attention to their homes, to their building, stuff that they just wanted to go away. They want her to go to jail. No one has said anything nice about her. Not one person has said anything nice about her. But I think they're a little tired of all the news cameras out front, all the reporters, and all these people that have spent millions and millions of dollars on property here. As you know, these things have stigmas. I'm not going to buy in that building. There was a murder in there. I'm going to go next door and spend $15 million. This building has sprawling views of Biscayne Bay and Miami Beach. This really put a stain on them when we lost a great guy. This guy was murdered.
Straight out to special guest joining us, Dr. Jan Gorniak, out of the Florida jurisdiction, former medical examiner, Clark County's medical examiner's office, that's Vegas, board certified forensic pathologist and founder of World Peace Forensic Consulting. Dr. Gorniak, thank you for being with us tonight. Please explain the nature of the victim's mortal wounds.
I'm going to try. First of all, I don't believe the knife throwing incident. And I think when you were just showing pictures, I saw a picture of a knife on the ground amongst the blood. When someone is stabbed, the hardest part to stab through is the skin. So there had to be a lot of force just to break through to the skin. I don't believe that you're saying if it was thrown 3 inches, she was close up, got into his chest. So there's a lot of arteries there, but it could have been up in his neck. I wasn't able to find exactly where, but I heard one of the reporters saying it was to his chest. So obviously your heart is in that area, your lungs, a lot of major vessels, the aorta. So that's why he bled out. It looks more like he bled out really quickly because he's unresponsive in that spot where he was stabbed. More likely than not, it looks like he was stabbed in the neck where he got a lot of blood and he would bleed out. He would exsanguinate and go unresponsive really quickly because if it was a chest wound, he would have been able to walk around. I'm not sure where, if all the blood is concentrated in one place or is there evidence that he was able to walk around. But yes, getting through the skin, if it's in the chest, through the ribs, that knife had to be really sharp. But 3 inches into the chest can definitely cause a fatal wound. Do not think it was thrown. Absolutely not was it thrown.
Guys, you're hearing renowned medical examiner Dr. Jan Gorniak speaking. Larry Seward joining us, investigative reporter, CBS News Miami. You can find him on Insta at LSewardCBS. Larry, again, thank you for being with us tonight. Explain to me the plea deal and how quickly she's going to be able to walk free.
So let's back up to the original charge, which was second degree murder. Obviously, there's the potential of her spending the bulk of her life that's left inside of a prison cell. Now, 4 years of this case ongoing led to negotiations, which she's pled guilty to one count of manslaughter with a deadly weapon. The minimum state minimums for that is 15 years. The deal that she has says that she can serve 6 years and then 5 years probation, but she's also getting credit for time served, which Courtney Clinney was arrested in Hawaii in August of 2022. That will also count toward her time served. She's been in jail in Miami-Dade County since she was extradited from Hawaii. So that's 4 years. So minimum, she's looking at getting out of jail or prison, I should say, getting out of state prison in 2 years. But with the way good behavior guidelines are in the state of Florida, 10 days for every month of good behavior, she could potentially walk out of state prison in 18 months. Now, after she serves that time, she's looking at 5 years of probation, and any violation of that probation, and there are many stipulations, she could be looking at up to 30 years in prison, Nancy.
Okay, here's a reality check. On a second degree murder charge in this jurisdiction, punishable up to life behind bars on second degree murder. As it stands now, and I doubt there's any way this plea can be retracted, she's walking in 18 months or less. Does the name Diddy, Sean Combs, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Love, ring a bell? because he's going to walk in a couple of months. And it seems like every time I look at his release date, it's been moved closer and closer. It's ever changing. How is that happening? Tell that to his crime victims. To Robert Crispin, what is she? Too pretty for jail. I remember when Deb LaFave said that, and sadly, it was true.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
What's happening? She's definitely... The judge could have rejected this.
Listen, I'm surprised that the judge didn't reject this, especially with, you know, Kathy Fernandez Rundel running this operation. I'm surprised she didn't take this to trial. She's always a victim advocate. I don't know what happened here, Nancy. I honestly don't. But she's actually going to have a problem in prison. Prison is no fun. Being in a prison, in a jail cell, in a population where there's really bad people, it is not good for someone like her.
What, I'm going to tell you, she... What, to put him up? There's really bad people in jail. She is a really bad people. Have you lost... Who killed him and is wearing his skin? What happened to him? She is a really bad people. She stabbed really bad her people. Boyfriend dead after years of abuse. What am I supposed to... She's going to be with bad people. What is wrong with you, man?
Not at all. Just because she's a high-profile murder suspect, she's going to get her butt kicked in prison. It's just going to happen, just like Diddy's having problems because he was a high-profile person. These people...
him up. I guarantee you, this woman, Courtney Clinney, she'll go toe to toe with anybody behind bars. You don't see what she did to a grown man? He's dead, dead, dead. Crispin, and you're worried she might get slapped behind bars? I don't think so. That's not happening.
No, I'm not.
She'll beat him up.
I'm not worried about that.
You seem worried. What, you think she's cute? You think she's kind of pretty? Go look at his dead body and tell me how pretty she is. Stop showing that. Put up Crispin.
She's got problems coming when she gets in jail.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, I don't find any problem with that. You know, in jail, they call that street justice.
Okay, because you seem like you're a little sad about it. She's going to be behind bars with some bad people, Nancy. She is a bad people. I'm going to let you think about that for a few moments.
Oh, I get it.
Wow. You know what? I'm a JD, not a DDS. I don't know how to pull teeth, but you know what? Give me a set of pliers because I think I can pull Crispin's tooth, the front tooth, out and maybe get the truth out of him. She is a bad people. Now I agree, Nancy. That took some doing. Joining us now, the two defense attorneys, the so-called miracle workers that somehow got a killer, a sweetheart deal, and managed to convince a judge to go along with it. I don't know what prosecutor thought this was a good idea. Frank Pietro joining us, defense attorney for Courtney Clinney at the Prieto Law Firm, and Sabrina Puglisi, also defense attorney for Clinney. Straight to you, Sabrina. She will walk, most likely, in less than 18 months, while he is in a casket forever. How did you do it?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Nancy, because it seems like the public wants to say maybe she got this because of the color of her skin or because of money. But as a former prosecutor, you know, they don't give these kinds of deals to just anybody. It's because of the evidence in this case. And it seems like that's overlooked all the time as to the evidence.
What evidence?
There's plenty of evidence to show.
Sabrina, what evidence supports a cheap plea?
Yeah, text messages. He was abusive. She was a battered spouse for many years. There were text messages to show he battered her. There are medical records. We have the premier expert in battered spouse. So what evidence is there on the other side? That's what I'm asking. Because you know the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office, they are not afraid to try cases. They try cases all the time. And so this is not a deal, sweetheart deal, as you say. It's because the evidence supported this deal.
May I ask you a question? You said they were married. Is that true?
No, they weren't married. I use the word battered spouse just as that's the terminology that first started. It's really now, I think, battered partner syndrome, yes, is the proper terminology.
Right. Right. It's battered spouse was back in law school. It's battered partner. So you have a text. That's interesting. Do you have any, well, you say a text. I don't know who sent that text. And it has not been evidentiarily proven in court who sent that text or what it really shows. That would have happened at trial if you had tried to introduce it. To Frank Pietro joining us, defense attorney, also for Courtney Clinton. Obviously, they had to tag team to pull this one out of their pocket. Frank, does it concern you at all that with her history of violence, she'll do this again as soon as she walks free?
Absolutely not, Nancy. This young lady, as my co-counsel, Ms. Puglisi, said, has suffered abuse at the hands of her abuser. She's started the path to recovery from her PTSD. So she's learning how to deal with it. And
her PTSD. PTSD. Did you say she's got PTSD?
Yes, she does. I mean, clearly this was a traumatic incident. You've probably seen the videos of her cradling Christian in her arms while he's bleeding. Yeah, that's something that would scar and traumatize anyone.
Ma'am, listen to me. You need to stop screaming on the line and give me the address.
3101.
I can't feel my arm.
3101.
Ma'am, my boyfriend is dying of a stab.
Ma'am, what is the address?
What's the address?
3131.
3131,
North
Ridge. Please, God, please. Come see my husband.
I'm so sorry.
If you have a stab wound to your shoulder, can you sit down?
What do you mean he has a stab wound on his shoulder, ma'am?
Sit down.
Hey, just no. They won't bite. Okay. Just bring him out here. Okay, I'm asking you as a person, can you please bring my other dog out to me?
Your dog is right there. Forget about the dog now. Don't worry. Forget about the dog.
But I'm covered in blood. It makes me look really bad. I was holding him the whole time.
I know. We're trying to see what's going on.
I'm covered in blood. It makes me look bad. Frank Pietro, he's dead, and she's worried about how she looks, and she also keeps apologizing. I'm sorry, to her dead boyfriend. Why is she worried about how she looks?
Well, clearly, the police have her detained. She's handcuffed. She's not understanding why they're handcuffing her, because she acted in self-defense. So being covered in blood obviously has a bad optic to the police, but she's just trying to explain why she is covered in blood.
I'm so glad you said that, Robert Crispin, joining us outside the murder scene. Bad optics. At that moment, she is worried about bad optics, says her defense attorney. And Pietro and Puglisi are not amateurs. They've tried a lot of cases, and they just said, yeah, she knew it was bad optics for her to be covered in his blood with him lying dead. Yeah, it does look bad because it is bad. Crispin?
Yeah, well, what you're seeing there, Nancy, on those body cams, these statements, I don't think helped her at all. I understand where the jury
will never see them because the state entered a cheap plea. She also says to Dr. Jan Gorniak, quote, he was like squirting blood. Her words, not mine, Dr. Gorniak, and that would be because of the insult to his artery. She sliced his artery, and as the heart continues to pump, it squirts the blood out of the body.
You're absolutely correct. And as I was listening to the 911 call, he said he was stabbed in the shoulder. That solidifies that I think he was stabbed in the neck. And you're right, he's squirting. That means that's arterial blood. So every time his heart beats, blood is going to be squirting out. And not sure what was going on before, if they were at a high energy state, running around, whatever. But when you're in that state, your heart rate is higher. So therefore, you're going to be losing blood a lot quicker. So that makes more sense. But that's still a close and personal injury. If you're saying to your shoulder, or really good shot.
That's important. Up close and personal, Dr. Gorniak, because her story is she threw the knife at him from standing beside the fridge several feet away. That was a lie. But here, listen to what she says happened.
Okay. Boys, just sit down.
So what happened?
I love him like more than like.
Okay. So what happened today that we're here?
So I had broken up with him about a week ago. And then today again, like we just weren't getting along kind of, but like we're breaking up again.
So you guys trying to get back together?
Yes, absolutely. Because I want to marry him. I love him. I think that he could change. I could change whatever. And he just, he started doing some that he wouldn't do to me. And I said, you know what? We're over. And I walked away and he pinned me to the wall.
He pinned you against the wall?
He pinned me to the wall and then pinned me to the ground. It was choking me. And so I got up and I called my mom and I was talking to her. And then he started charging at me and I just had it in my hand because I was like trying to threaten, like, don't come
what
here.
Do you have in your knife? Why do you have in your hand a knife?
Because I was scared.
I'm asking, what do you have in your hand?
The knife.
A knife, okay.
Larry Seward joining me, investigative reporter, CBS News Miami. Did I just hear her say, in the midst of all of her terror, she did not leave the apartment. She got on the phone with her mother and had a conversation.
You did hear that. And exactly what Christian Umbaselli's family says also happened is she called her mom. Then she called downstairs to building security and then called 911. That has given them a great degree of anguish because they feel like that obviously shows someone who is not trying to get the best care as quickly as possible for this boyfriend that she lived with, that she loved. And they told us also yesterday that Christian had sent texts through his phone stating that he believed his love for Courtney Clinney would end his life.
To Frank Pietro and Sabrina Puglisi joining us. I've had a lot of murder cases where I, of course, was representing the victim and the victim's family, where victims have foreshadowed unwittingly their own death. For instance, in one domestic, I don't know why we still call it domestic homicide, the wife, Patricia, was so afraid that she told her best friend where the key was, her emergency key, where she hid it in her pocketbook, about where all her jewelry was, where all her important papers were, in case her husband murdered her, and he did. I've had it over and over again. So is that correct, Sabrina, that before his death, he texted his mother and said, loving her, he would end up dead?
Was a text to the mother. I do know what you're referring to, but I don't think it was a text to the mother. But it's easy, Nancy, to show these snapshots that you have.
What was it?
it was a text or a letter that he wrote that, yes, he does say, is love going to kill me? But it also is taken out of context, because to me, when I read it, taking all the evidence around that time frame, it is an emotional plea, because he feels emotionally like the relationship is going to kill him, and not literally, but emotionally. And so I think it's easy for you to take these snapshots you've shown. These are moments, but this is not all the evidence. Mr. Hanfield has not portrayed the evidence correctly. The timing of phone calls, that is not correct. The evidence, meaning security reports and the phone records, support differently. So it's easy to make these assumptions, except the evidence, when taken completely, you can see this was justified. And that's why we got the deal we did.
Are you familiar with our expert, Dr. Jan Gorniak? She was the medical examiner in Vegas, and she says that there is no way that your client could have thrown the knife and it went that deeply, severing an artery in the victim's body. That is a lie.
Well, our defense ME
would she be lying?
Why would she have? Did she have the opportunity to inspect the body? Our expert ME says differently. Experts can easily say different things. I mean, side is
yes. I know that. If you could just answer one thing: how deep was the wound, Miss Puglisi? How deep was the wound in the victim's body?
I believe it was 8 centimeters.
And 8 centimeters is.
And what I can tell you is we have expert knife throwers. I myself have thrown a knife into the carcass of a pig 3 inches. So
did you just say you were going to bring on expert knife throwers?
We were, yes, absolutely. They were, if you look at our witness list.
Was your client, Ms. Clinton, an expert knife thrower? Because otherwise that would be completely irrelevant. You would need a completely untrained person to throw a knife and have it go 3 inches into someone's body.
Have you ever thrown a knife, Nancy? Because I have, and I'm not an expert, and it did go into the knife into the pig carcass 3 inches. So it can be done. There are experts that say it can be done. It is not likely, it is not probable, but it is possible. And you and I both know that all you need is
possible.
One small possibility. That is reasonable.
That's not true. The standard of proof is beyond a reasonable doubt, not a possibility, not a whimsical or fanciful doubt, but beyond a reasonable doubt. To say it's possible, Ms. Puglisi, the little green man from Mars came down and stabbed him dead. It's entirely possible. Is it probable? No, it's not. And you yourself just said it's possible.
Not my burden of proof. It's the state's burden of proof.
You are so right about that. You're right, and I should be reminding everyone that Sabrina Puglisi and Frank Pietro have done what I consider to be practically the impossible. They got a cheap plea for this woman. That's not easy to do. It takes a lot of work, a lot of convincing, but they did it. Am I happy? No. Am I congratulating them? No. It's kind of like patting the devil on the back saying, good job. But in their world, this is a major win. They got a woman facing life behind bars a get-out-of-jail-free card. It ain't over yet, and we wait as justice unfolds. And tonight, we remember an American hero, Trooper Nicholas Clark, New York State Police, just 29, shot in the line of duty. Too young to have a wife and a family, leaving behind grieving parents, Teresa and Anthony. American Trooper, Nicholas Clark. Thank you to our guests, especially our special guests, Frank Pietro and Sabrina Puglisi. Another feather in their cap. And thank you to you for being with us tonight. Nancy Gray signing off for tonight, but God willing, I'll see you tomorrow night. And until then, good night.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.